Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
The Survivor Specialists are back. I'm Tegwith, holding down the fort, and I'm joined by Philip from Dondi, Deal or No Deal Island icon. Phil and Will are traveling, and McKenna is getting married, so it's just us holding down the fort. Philip, how are you? How are you doing this season?
I'm good. It is my pleasure to be your substitute Phil here, just for the day. I love this season. It's so weird to see my friends on TV after the fact, so that's weird. But like, other than that, all good.
Yeah, and the season is like kind of crazy, and every single episode, I think it can't get better, and then it like does, which is not so. Yes. But I think that this probably is one of my favorite episodes of the season, even if I don't love the end result. So let's just get right into it. So I first want to start off by, you know, we get, obviously every single episode starts, we go back to camp after the vote out, and yep. Parvati seems emotional, and we don't really see Parvati like emotional when she, like blindside somebody like that typically, which I think is interesting. And I think it shows the relationship between Parvati and Kirby was real. Did you clock that? Did you notice kind of how she felt after that vote?
Okay, so judging by my personal experience, if you want to hop on NBC, Peacock, there's probably something illegal somewhere. Here's what I will say. The people, like, I think Parvati is a game-focused player. But there are people in the game that she like wants to be friends with in real life. And she knows how to turn it on and turn it off. And she turns it on when she needs to. She has that skill. And that's why, like, again, me and her still speak all the time, because like we knew that we were destined to be real friends after this. And I think for her, what you're really seeing is that existential crisis of, I liked Kirby a lot. I like her. She is the type of girl I would hang out with. And so it's so hard for her to be like, but for me to win, she had to go. And that's,
yeah. Fair. Yeah. And totally fair. And, you know, I think it's very interesting because I feel like editing wise, typically we don't really see that side of Parvati. So I thought that was really interesting that we saw that there in the beginning. But then I also really liked another thing I loved about the beginning part of the episode was we got to figure out what was in Cass's scroll. So Cass won the immunity challenge in the previous episode, and she got a scroll, and they said, can't open it yet. Can't open it until the next day. And so we were like, is it going to be an advantage? What is it going to be? And it turns out it's actually a reward, which I think is such a cool way to do a reward, because in the episode, we didn't have to watch a reward challenge, but we still got to enjoy people enjoying themselves on a reward. Now, how did you feel about Cass's picks? So Cass chose Sari, Parvati, and Tommy to go on this spa with her. How did you feel about that?
Okay. Before we talk about the picks, can I give you a hot take on the reward?
Yes.
I think in a normal, longer season, especially in Australia that goes on for 74 months, I think we could do the spa, reward, the robe, and whatever. But like with this, the game is so small and so short, I think it almost took their focus away from the game. Mm. Not Parvati, because we know her. She's always in it. But what I'm saying is that I think a reward at this point has to be something toward a better game, because if they're already down to the last group. And so like, am I going to be able to relax in like a spa and a robe when I know that like there are things that have to be done and conversations that have to be had? With that said, do I think she picked a good group? Yeah, totally. I think that in working with Parvati and Sari, like you always want to have the big names with you so that even if something goes on with them, you want to be on the inner circle where you can at least overhear it. You never want to be surprised or blindsided. So I think those were good people for her to bring with her just to be like making sure we're still good.
Yeah, I agree. Now, just to play devil's advocate, do you think Tommy was the right person, or do you think it would have been smarter for her to choose somebody from the Australian tribe? Because I'm kind of wavering on this one, because I really don't think, like, I think in Cass's game, she was trying to be like, you know what, we are trying to go against Australia. Like, that is kind of what we're trying to do. But just to appease them, do you think that that could have been like a better choice? I'm just still going back and forth on whether or not I agree with that.
It's hard because I like Tommy. He's like, if a rainbow and a cupcake was a person, like, I don't think there's a bad bone in his body. And so what's hard is that, like, I want to bring him because he's a nice man, but also in terms of a game this small, I don't think you have to bring him because do I think he's going to be angry if you don't? No. I think you could actually get more out of the game, let's say, bringing Shani or maybe even Janine. Like, there are other avenues that can get you an advantage where, like, Tommy's not going to be that mad. You know him. He's going to smile and hug everyone and say, I hope everyone has a good time. And then it's over. And you're like, okay, cool, great. So it's fine. So, like, for me, I don't think you had to bring him, but I do enjoy the fact that he was there.
I agree. And I think that you're totally right in looking at this reward as kind of, it's not necessary. Because what is this, day 11 or something? Like, it's literally, like, I think they're, like, little over a week into the game. So it's not like they're, you know, 27 days in, like a normal Australian season would be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really short. Gosh, and can I say, you bringing up Tommy as being, I'm going to miss that man on my TV screen. Like, I'm going to miss Cass too, but Tommy is just so, like, funny, and I loved his shirt, and his vibe was so good, and I'm just going to miss that.
Literally smiling ear to ear. Just, there was nothing that could bring that man down that I was like, you know what? Okay, Tommy. Okay.
Literally. Oh gosh. It kills me. But I will say, so let's continue on. Let's go to the challenge. So the challenge was, I think, crazy hard. I'm shocked Tommy figured it out right away. You had to fill up a bucket with water that had holes in it. And then you had to go stack cards, but the bucket was balancing with the cards. But to add another layer to that, you had to walk across a balance beam with the cards. So it was not only difficult because you had to stack cards on a teeter-totter, if you will. You also had to go across that balance beam. And can I say, when Sari fell, I literally had to walk. I had to take a walk around my apartment because she, like, I can't stand watching Sari fall. But that was a really crazy challenge. And then Tommy ended up winning because he had the strategy behind that challenge and he hacked it. Did you think that Tommy was going to win going into it?
I mean, I don't ever think that man's going to win, but, like, I'm glad that he does. I think that I really enjoyed watching it because I hate the things that really take just straight up athleticism only. I think that that really does kind of give certain players a huge advantage. And even the endurance-based ones is a lot of, like, upper body strength or lower body. Like, this one is truly agility. And when I say that, I don't even mean, like, physical agility. Like, in your head, you have to be like, okay, if I manipulate this, how will that work? And I think, like, that to me is what makes a good survivor winner, what makes a good challenge winner, to be able to use all those other skills other than just straight up brute strength.
Yeah. And Tommy winning, I think, was halfway through the challenge, it was pretty clear that Tommy won to me because he just hacked it. He understood how to get it done. And then so him winning, I felt like, was a really interesting outcome because it wasn't something I expected going into the challenge. And I thought it could bring a interesting dynamic to tribal. Ended up kind of bringing an interesting dynamic into tribal, even though that man did not say a word at tribal council. I don't think, maybe 5 words total.
Listen, this month we got Destiny's Child back together, Taylor Swift engaged, Tommy wins a challenge. America's healing. America is healing. It's happening.
Yeah, very, so real. That's so real. Okay, but back at camp, after the challenge, they're chatting.
A mess, always.
A mess. The world walks away, and it looks like they're chatting for forever. They decide so at the reward, they did decide it was basically the full world. They decided it was either going to be Shani or Luke, depending on what happened at the challenge. Yep. So reconvene. They say, okay, let's go with Luke. Sari goes, actually, maybe we should do Shani instead because she's more of a social player. And I think this is a great clock from Sari. She's so good at, you know, really seeing who I think is the biggest threat down the line. And I think that she's 1,000% right. Shawnee
the
is
the biggest threat for her. Take yes. note that she was like, because she's a really good social player and everyone trusts her a lot. And she's like, that's kind of my gig. That's like what I do. So let's get her out immediately. Yes.
And, but she is the reason why Ceree is so amazing, and I think I'm seeing it really overtly this season, is she's so good at spinning things that are either good or bad for her into making that something that's really good or bad for the other person. Or like if the other person, if she has an idea, she kind of says it in a nonchalant way. And she said it so that the other person in the conversation will like repeat it. And she's like, oh my God, genius.
You did it.
That's a great idea. And I'm seeing it so overtly this season. And I've seen it before, but it just is so clear this season to me that she is so good at like doing a little tweak here and a little tweak there to make it better for you than it is for me. So good idea.
My hot take is Parvati the queen of the season? Sure. But has Ceree driven every vote and pretty much told Parvati what she did in order to make it go the way she wanted to? Yes. So like, once again, I was hoping that once we left America, Ceree would get a better edit that supports the amount of real work she's doing, and she's not. But no. If you objectively are like, okay, well, who ran that? And who ran that? And who ran that? Technically, it's her. So like, it's like she's still not getting the edit she deserves. And like, Ceree is just like everyone's black auntie you don't want to let down. You're like, I'm sorry. And she goes, come over here, sugar. And you're like, yep, I just need this hug right now. Like, it just, she feels like a hug at all times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no, I'm so glad you brought up her edit, because that's something that's been kind of a pet peeve of mine, at least like specifically this season, because starting from episode one, even in the first 10 minutes, that woman didn't even get like an intro packet. It was just like, there she is in the car, no introduction. And it's just like, she's so under-edited. She's still more edited than like Lisa is or Tommy is, but for Ceree, she should be getting a little more screen time, in my opinion. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because every episode I'm like, you know what that episode could have used? More Ceree.
Every time.
Every single time. So the world decides, all right, we're going to go with Shawnee. And they're like, what name are we going to give? And Parvati's like, you know what? No name. They're not going to get a name. We don't know. Just to really keep them scrambling, which is, I think, a very interesting take here, or an interesting way to go about it here, because you're playing this game with, in theory, the best of the world, right? Agreed. The best Survivor players of all time. And I don't know if you watch Big Brother, but this decision kind of felt a little bit like one of the recent veto on Big Brother. They had the like two goblets, and it was like, okay, one of these is poison, mm-hmm. and one of them isn't. Totally. And to me, giving a name is almost like choosing between the two poison goblets.
Agree.
And the Australian Survivor players are like, okay, are they telling us the truth or are they telling us a lie in order to play our idol? But not telling them any information really is keeping the Australians scrambling. And I think if executed right, it would have been very interesting to see what the Australian Survivors decided to do in that instance. Did you agree with that choice from Parvati?
It's hard because I respect Parv's game, but it's so hard to predict. And I hate the fact that she's like never done this before. She's like, let's just try this and hope it works. And like, she's the kind of person that is the luckiest person in every friend group. Like, I feel like every friend group has one where they're like, I tripped and fell and I had $100. You're like, how does that only happen to you? So like, it's weird that she makes so many bold, big choices in every direction and they all seem to work out for her. So would I suggest that plan for anyone else? No, but is she going to be the one to actually have it and make it work? Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also just say, I forgot to mention this back at the reward. I want to talk about Ceree and Parvati on the hammock. Those two on the hammock, I did not have that on my 2025 bingo card of just like Parvati and Ceree galling out, like gal palling out at a reward challenge in robes on the hammock. And then laughing about Tony when they kind of decided a final two and Parvati said, you know, I've got this and I've got this. And they're like, we got to sit at the end together. And they're like, Tony's going to be so mad. I was cackling like a witch on my couch.
Ceree was my mother, my auntie, it was the blackest sari we've ever seen. And perfectly, he's like, I have it out. And she goes, where'd you get that? And she goes, ooh, Tony gonna be mad. And I was like, I'm dead. I can't do this anymore. Like, I, at that moment, I was like, see, she's just like us. Oh, it, I love her. Great.
It was such a good moment. And I, like, I'm gonna have that, like, I just imagine that still. It's something they should frame it and like put it in the Louvre or something, because I just loved that moment. I don't know what made me think of that, but oh God, it's just so, so good. Okay, but while they're, you know, deciding between Luke or Shawnee and having this very long chat, it seems, the Australian survivors are like, where did they go? Now, this seemed like a very overt decision by the World Tribe to talk and go as a group. It felt very obvious. And I feel like typically at this point in the game, it's never that obvious. And to me, I think that was the World's first mistake this episode, was going off and really kind of seemingly drawing a line in the sand. Because Janine and Luke were trying to build something with Parvati and Sari. And I feel like this, you know, I'm imagining it being like a 30-minute conversation, 40-minute conversation. Seems like it's really showing the Australians like, hey, we've got a lot to talk about and you're not included. And I feel like that was the first mistake as a group the World made this episode.
Yeah, I think as a new viewer to Australian Survivor, I started watching after I got home from Deal or No Deal Island, because you're not going to make me look stupid twice. Anyway, so I went back, did the old seasons, and now I'm here. But like, one of the major things I'm seeing between like Australia and like the US or whatever else is that like, very rarely on Survivor do we get those big group meetings like we get on Big Brother, where it's like 7 to 8 people in the HOH room. We never see that in Survivor. It's always like a one tells one, then they tell another, whatever. So like, when we see a big group meeting, I haven't been able to really figure out whether that shows more unity or less. Technically, it might be less, because they're like, if we don't all hear and say the same thing, someone's going to lie and screw this up. And so like, I think, for me, I haven't really figured out whether they're like, we're more united, or be like, or we don't trust anybody.
Yeah, I think that's a really good read, because it just, to me, seemed like they got back. Lisa sat down. She sat down for about 5 seconds, it felt like, and then locked eyes with Cass, and they just stood up and walked away. And I think that, like, maybe this was the right decision for Cass. Well, I guess it wasn't, because two of them went home. Cass, Tommy, and Lisa. But I think that, like, when Parvati and Sari are trying to build these bonds, it just seems like a very weird thing to go and do. When every other time you have groups of two go, hey, we're doing this, hey, we're doing this, like, and that just to me seems like more, more like a clear way that Survivor goes about it. But Australia, that I think that's what started putting Australia on their toes, those three on their toes, because seeing them going for so long, they're like, something's up, something's up, something's up. And I think putting them on their toes immediately makes it, when they already probably were, because they're down in numbers.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Makes them fight harder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Because if you know that some, like, a group of 10 people are fighting against a group of two, the group of two is going to be like, okay, I know it's coming for me. I need to make sure that I'm ready, because there's no way I'm going to, if I'm not ready, I'm not going to be able to fight this. But if I am, maybe I can. And I think that that was really what kicked off kind of the chaos.
What's great is that you got to really see every member of the Australian tribe kind of lock into their own personal superpower. Shawnee's social game got really good. Janine's ability to be like kind of vulnerable, kind of not, kind of mysterious, kind of worked out. Luke was like, I guess I have to be athletic as hell. And he did. So like, I think everyone was like, okay, I need to do what I know right now. And this is it. So like, agree. I think that instead of preheating the oven, we went straight from like zero to air fry. And that's pretty much what happened for the rest of the whole, like, you know, it's bad. Cause when they went to tribal, we still had like a half hour left. And I was like, uh-oh, that's not a good sign ever. That is never a good sign.
No, literally, when they were grabbing their torches to go to tribal council, Ryan and I were watching, and I was like, is this the shortest episode of Survivor of all time? Because we airstream it from our iPad to the TV. So we're always afraid to like touch anything, because if we touch something, it all messes up. Yeah. And so I didn't want to like see how long. I was like, either it's we got a lot of tribal to go, or this is the shortest episode of Survivor ever. And clearly it was the former, because not only was it a crazy tribal, it was kind of a crazy two tribals. So I do want to talk about this twist, Phil. Well, before we get to the twist, let's talk about Lisa's decision to talk to Luke and Janine. Now, it was mainly, obviously, Tommy, Lisa, and Cass did discuss going for Parvati. And Tommy said, well, you know what? At the very last minute, let's tell them that actually we're not going to go with what they wanted. We're going to go for Parvati. So this is the second mistake I think the World Tribe makes. Not only, I mean, I think that it's not a mistake to go for Parvati. I think she's a queen for a reason. Go for Parvati, you know. and so I think that that is not a mistake. Go for Parvati. But this is not a newbie season, right? This isn't a season where people have not played Survivor before. Everybody's played Survivor. Some of them have won Survivor. They know the trick of sun is setting. We're about to go to tribal council. I'm going to throw something at you. That's manipulation, and they know it. They've seen it. They maybe have done it. And so on a newbie season, fine, do it, whatever. But on an all returning season with some of the best players in the world, I don't know that you should do that.
Poor Lisa. I just got to see it. It just, she was in existential crisis. I don't even know where to watch her season, but I assume that it was probably as competitive, but not as cutthroat. They're not the same. And everyone's like, well, like, aren't they the same? No, they're not. You can be super competitive without being cutthroat. And Lisa looked like you just told her that there was no Easter Bunny the whole episode, that I was like, oh God, this woman, oh no, oh no, she's going through it.
Yeah, especially because this is against, like, she, episode one, she was me. Like she was just a fangirl of Suri and Parvati. And I was like, yeah, I see myself on the screen. Like, that is so real. And she was definitely going through it. And I don't know if it was a group decision. I can't remember if it was a group decision that Tommy, Cass and Lisa decided that Lisa was the person to go up and tell them. But if you're going to do this, you know, let's tell somebody at the very last minute. I don't know that Lisa is the person to do that. I feel like the person with the immunity necklace should be the one instigating this conversation. Go ahead.
I think they sent Lisa in because no one I think when I see Lisa, when I hear Lisa, I associate that with purity and innocence and honesty and truth. So I actually think they were smart to send her in and be like, here you go, baby. And I just don't think she handled it well. But I will say, like, I think they were smart to do that in knowing that her reputation and who she has been in the game and who she has proven to be is a truthful person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right in that sense. But she just, you know, she's telling them the situation. And then, you know, the next mistake that is made by the World Tribe is Lisa. And then I guess not the World Tribe, Lisa, saying, you know what, it's Parvati, but I'm not going to do it. But you should vote Parvati.
A disaster,
because I get what she's trying to, like, I get it. She is trying to play honestly. And I think that is honestly what she wanted to do. Like, she was like, I have no problem if you guys vote for Parvati. I'm just not going to do it. But here is the issue. I work at a restaurant, and like, I feel like if the kitchen makes a mistake and I'm the one that has to go to the table and be like, here's like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to be the person taking the fall for something. If you're also not going to be involved in that issue. You know, I said in my like little recap video on my TikTok, I was like, if you want me to jump off the bridge, I will, but you have to jump with me. If it's your idea, like, we're jumping together, babe.
Yeah, crazy. I think it's super isolating, and I don't think it really garners any trust with either side, because Parvati's receiving the votes, and on the other side, they're like, okay, but so you agree with us, but you don't agree with us enough to stand with us and vote? And she's like, yes, and yes. So she's in the middle, and no one trusts her. I'm like, that doesn't help at all. Now everyone's mad at you somehow, and like, I just don't think it was well thought out. I think that like Lisa is one of the players that's still getting used to the speed of the game. Because it's such a shortened game, they don't have time for like the niceties or the, I don't want any blood on my hands. I'm like, no, baby, you're going home in a week. We need the blood on your hands now. Because if it's not now, it's your blood. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder, do you think there's a way she could have gone about this with the same information, but packaging it in a different way. Cause I feel like there's a world in which Lisa goes up to Luke and Janine and is like, hey, so I was talking with the other world members with Tommy and Cass, and they think that Saree and Parvati are a really big threat, which they are. They're a huge threat.
There.
But I feel I don't have it in me to put down Parvati's name because of the bond that we have made. But do I think going for Parvati is the wrong decision? No, I don't think going for Parvati is the wrong decision at all. So what I'm proposing, if you want, you guys can write down Parvati's name because Tommy and Cass want to go for Parvati. I just want to be upfront with you guys. I just don't think that I have it in me to write down Parvati's name, but this is a plan that's maybe in motion. And if you want to join, feel free. I feel like that is like the maybe wording it in that way, being so clear about everything, maybe they would have done it, but it just felt so like they were trying to pry that information out of her. And she was not being forthcoming with that information.
I think the moment you tell me to do something, but you don't want to do it, I'm like, why? Wait, yeah. Stop. And so like, for me, there's no room for, I don't want to vote for, I'm like, that's not, because of the bond we've made in 6 days, I need, no, that's not your friend, your cousin, coworker. Right now she's your coworker. And so I need you to just do the vote. And like the same way that in Big Brother, sometimes they vote for their friends because they want to be with the house. They just want to be there. And they're like, listen, I didn't want to vote for you. I don't want to, but I know that all the votes are going for you and I can't be the one outlier. That's smart gameplay, I think. Mm-hmm. But in knowing Lisa like we do, I understand why she wanted to play the middle. But like, again, at this point, we're just too far along for her to play the middle.
Too far along. I just think that, and you know, that is really what I think instigated the spiraling, because that is pretty close to when they go to tribal council. We heard from Janine. I also want to say, I liked what we heard from Janine today. I think Janine's a very interesting player. She's very smart. We don't hear a lot from her, but when we do, I like what we hear.
She's so rich. I did like a little research. She's like rich.
She's like rich. Mark Cuban rich. Like, she's,
yeah,
like,
I didn't know that. She's like, yeah, rich.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's a shark. Or I don't know if they call them sharks, but Shark Tank. Yeah,
that makes sense.
She's like, yeah, she's like next level. And you don't get, well, some people, you don't get to that level of wealth typically without having, you know, the smarts. Not all the time. Sometimes it's
fair.
But I think that she's a very smart businesswoman, and we see that coming through when she plays this game. And I think that she's under-edited a little bit. But I'm really, like, I like when we see it. I like when we can kind of see behind the curtain and really kind of see her gameplay. Okay, but they go to tribal council. I did not know what was, like, I didn't know. I could never have guessed that this was the tribal council we were going to get, because immediately they sit down. I don't even think JLP gets a word out, and they're already whispering.
Okay, so here's what I've learned in my Australian Survivor adventure. They don't do this in America. We don't be talking at the tribal. The plan's in place. We sit down. Jeff asks us our three things, and we sit there and we look at whatever. You can tell because Parvati's immediately uncomfortable when other people start to like talk and whisper, because we don't do that in America. She's like, excuse me, I'm trying to answer JLP who's answering, and like they're whispering, and she literally stops in the middle of a sentence and goes, hold on, I just have to go, like I just have to like hop in on this. And I'm like, that's insane to me. And that's what I kind of love about the Australian game, but also what makes me nuts, because I have like actual diagnosed like ADHD. I can't respond to you if two people are talking right here. Like, I can't do it. And so I was like, it's making me insane that they're like, they had a meeting. They had more than one meeting. They had more than one meeting at that. That I was like, you didn't have a plan before this. I feel like at least in America, we as the viewer are the ones that are surprised, but it always seems like at least like half the people, they're like, know where it's going to go. It feels like in Australia, not a damn person knows where it's going. No one ever knows where it's going.
Yeah, that was really crazy. This is one of the quote unquote livest tribal councils I feel like I've ever seen
In my whole life.
Mainly because I genuinely, after all was said and done and people were voting, I looked to Ryan next to me and I said, I don't know what's happening, because there were so many discussions. Everyone was talking to everybody. Everybody was up and talking. And I think this episode really, And she's one of the greatest to ever play Survivor. And we all know this. I think at Tribal Council, we saw why she is one of the greatest. And I think it's number one, she had a gut instinct, right? She knew something was off at Tribal Council or before Tribal Council. Yep. She sees people talking. She realizes something is amiss. Something is not right. And she goes about it in such an interesting way. She puts that idol around her neck and she says, I'm safe tonight. She doesn't even end up using the idol, but freaks everybody out. And whether or not the like poverty vote was real from the world, I think it was, because there's a world in which like that actually was a ruse to throw onto the, you know, the Australian people. But like the fact that she didn't get a vote, like Australia was like clamoring to work with her and Suri. They're wild to me. The way they played it was wild to me.
I think Parvati does her best work when, she talks about this on, I want to say a confessional for Deal or No Deal Island, when there's chaos all around her and she's just like holding tight. And you can see when she just like pulls the pin off the grenade and throws it and then just has a seat. And then she goes, you know what? I'm not even going to use it. And I was like, literally, meanwhile, her and Suri are just chilling. Everyone else splattered in blood. And I was like, what happened? They're just sitting there like, and not a single vote went to her. I'm like, listen, y'all allowed her to do that. And that's fair.
Yeah, it was absolutely bonkers. The fact that, you know, at one point it was going to be Parvati. At one point it was going to be Suri. At one point it was going to be Luke. At one point it was going to be Shawnee. I don't know if I heard Janine's name. At one point it was going to be Lisa. Like at one point it was going to be Cass. Like it moved so quickly throughout that whole tribal council. I'm shocked that people were able to kind of get their ducks in a row because so much was happening.
And yet when Cass was still about to be like, I'm going to play this, Parvati was like, no, don't. And she was like, okay. I'm like, why are you, what's happening here? They just give her the authority to do whatever she wants. Now don't get me wrong. I understand it. She is an engaging woman. And when you're with her, like face to face, you're like, oh, that's how you play the game you do. But I'm just saying that like, as an outside observer, I'm like, you're just letting her do this. You're just allowing it. There's way more of you than her. And yet you're still allowing this to happen. You know, she has an idol. And so still she's like, nah, I'm not going to play it after all. And I'm like, this was insanity.
Yeah. What's that? What was that thing that went all over TikTok recently? Like 100 men versus a bear or something. It's 10 Australian Survivor or 10 Survivor players versus Parvati.
Literally, she's the bear. She's the bear. And she has eaten the souls of at least 100 men on national television. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And you know what? Parvati always wins. She always wins. And obviously, you know, Lisa was really trying to sell to Parvati. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. It's going to be, who was it? Shawnee.
Yeah.
It's going to be Shawnee. Which I do believe after all hell broke loose at Tribal Council, I do believe Cass was, if she was planning on voting Parvati, you know, going into it, I do not believe she was planning on voting Parvati once all hell broke loose. I believe she was telling the truth. The problem is with Parvati, I think if you break the trust once, it's broken. And I think maybe twice. Yeah. You know, like the first time, sometimes I feel like she's willing to, you know, work with you a little bit, but then it's over. And I think that was the straw, because why are you throwing my name out again? Why are you throwing Suri's name out again? Why does this keep happening? We got to do something about it. And the fact that it shifted from Lisa to Cass, because I really truly thought once everything kind of got crazy, because it was Lisa who brought the information to Luke and Janine and Shawnee, I was like, oh, Lisa's gone. And I needed that girl to get up. I needed Lisa to stand up and talk, because I was like, there were conversations and she and Tommy were just sitting there. And I was like, Lisa, get out of your chair, please.
Okay. This is one of the things that I have really been like looking at, because why I love reality TV is the psychology and the levels of sociology that work along with it. And I think that based on their countries of origin, their social cues don't allow them to just like be as cutthroat as we want them to. Like, I think they're very polite. And Lisa's like, I'm going to wait my turn. And Tommy's like, does anyone need a hug? And I'm like, okay, like, I just think they can't do what we need them to do, but that's not their own fault. I think that's just like where they're from. And if you look at where they're, you're like, actually, that makes sense. Okay.
That's actually a really great observation, because I think that that's probably right. But it was killing me, because I really like Lisa, because the reason why I like Lisa, did I love her gameplay this episode? No, but I like her because I see a lot of myself in her, and just a fan. Just, I think that if she's a true fan of Survivor, who was able to play and win. And I think that because she played and won, it didn't change that she's a fan. And I really love seeing a little bit of myself on the TV screen, right? And so I was really excited for her. Didn't love her gameplay this episode, obviously. But I'm always going to be rooting for Lisa, because I want that fan to do well, because if I was on Survivor, I'd want to do well. And so I'm really happy she finally ended up getting up and telling the full story, telling it all, because I think that just solidified for Parvati. All right, here's what's going on. Something happened. Lisa is clearly telling me the truth. So it's either got to be Cass or Tommy, and Tommy is safe.
But at the same time, we're still, no matter what we discuss, we're always trying to prove it to the mob boss Parvati. And you're like, wait, but stop. Let's run the numbers. Let's actually look at it. Why are we doing that? Like, it's just, this is a three-ring circus and she is the ringmaster. And it's insane to watch from the outside. And I'm like, this is crazy. Suri didn't even give us words. She just gave us she was just a human emoji for a half hour. And like, still, they were like, it's okay. You two can just stay because you're you. And we're like, that's crazy. Like, if Parvati has taught me anything, and I say this in the most loving, amazing way possible, if you are that delusional, anything is possible. I think she has taught herself to believe. No, because I think in her head, she was like, I'm not going home. Do you know who I am? And like, even in her head, she was like, that sounds absurd. She's like, but if I say it out loud, will people believe it? And they do every time. So she's like, you know what? Okay. Yes. Yes.
Manifestation, shoot your shot. That's what if you come away with any kind of information from this podcast, it is shoot your shot, because maybe it'll land. Because
that's how I ended up on reality TV. You have to be as delusional as possible. And they were like, congratulations, you're on the show. And you want to know what my exact response was? I was like, I know. I was like, congratulations to you. Like, that's
like, I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, it's really interesting, because we have seen people do this play of the, like, putting an idol over and being like, I'm safe tonight.
Or
and
a people, shoe. Who knows?
Or a shoe. The shoe. Iconic. But people being like, do you think they're actually going to play it? Maybe we should put some votes on them, because maybe they're not actually going to play it. Or just people know that they have an idol and being like, well, maybe we can flush the idol and whatever. That was not even in consideration, which again is bonkers, but I love it. You know, I'm not complaining. I want to keep Parvati and Suri as long as possible, but it's just really wild to me that putting that on really acted pretty much as not even a hidden immunity idol. It acted as an idol for her. Just a regular idol, because once she did that, that girl was safe. And it was absolutely crazy. And not only was that idol exposed, she also ended up exposing the advantage.
That was her only misstep I think she's had pretty much all season, if you want my honest answer. That, like, you could tell that even that's when we got to see real Parvati, that, like, she came back down to earth and was like, oops, sorry, I'm not going to use it, bye. And we're all like, yep, there we go. That's a person. Okay, cool, great.
Yep. And I think, like, it is going to be interesting going into the next episode with this knowledge of that everyone else has, that she has this, especially because Luke does have an idol. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see how people kind of work around that or work with that. But I do think, if I am Cass, and obviously hindsight is 2020, like, yeah, I'm not in the moment, I'm not there, I am Monday morning quarterbacking or whatever the phrase is. But if I'm Cass and I'm about to play an idol, and Parv has this thing that she's clearly, you know, reading and about to use. But then she's like, no, I'm playing it for Lisa. And Parvati goes, oh, okay. And puts it away. Alarm bells in my head, because if Parvati is okay with you playing it for Lisa, why would she be trying to steal your idol in the first place? Did she think that she was going to, you were going to play it for Shawnee or Luke? Like, what, why do you think that Cass felt like it was safe to go up and play it for Lisa?
It's just such a weird trust they all have in Parvati. And I like, just can't figure it out. It's like very Pied Piper. She like plays a flute and everyone's like, okay, I'm in. And you're like, wait, but why? And so, yes, in looking at the comments, I don't understand why the Aussies are okay with keeping Suri and Parvati around after learning about all the advantages. Yeah, I think next episode is going to be interesting because now they're all out in the open. And so now we like know that they exist and we need to get them out somehow. But like, will they? At this point, I have no idea, because we can't say like they will now because they have the numbers, because they've had the numbers. And yet here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Because really the Americans, while they're on the World Tribe, the Americans are always going to be the biggest targets. The Americans were always going to be on a tribe of their own, even though they are on a different tribe. They are going to be kind of isolated because of their history, because of their icon status, because of all of that. And I do think that like at any point in time, people would have like the other world people and the Aussies could have gotten together and gotten them out, but they just could never get on the same page. It is just kind of, again, bonkers. I love it, but like crazy to me that that all happens. But we do end up getting Cass is the one who was voted out. Very sad. I loved Cass.
Huge loss.
I love Cass. It has me contemplating, am I about to watch 100,000 episodes of Australia Quebec so that I can watch Cass's season? I don't know if you know this, Philip. Apparently, Survivor Quebec is like, they do an episode for the reward challenge. They do an episode for the reward. They do an episode for the, like, they do so many episodes. Apparently, it's like, it's crazy. But I'm like, I like Cass enough. I'm like, I probably want to watch that because she's so strong. Number one, she's such an enthralling character. She's very smart. I like watching her strategize. I need more of Cass, but it's a huge loss.
I think we also have to remember that she is playing and lying and manipulating and communicating in not her first language. Don't get me wrong, her English is very good, but I'm just saying that the time that it takes to like process it all and then spit it all back out the way you need it to be in a language that's not your natural, like she speaks like French at home, like consistently. And so English is not her first language and she still killed it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that is a huge thing to point out too, because she was strategizing. She was lying. She was manipulating. She was doing all this stuff in not her first language, which again is incredible. And I am very sad we lost Cass, especially because I think that all of this blew up because, and I love her, it all blew up because of Lisa. And to me, I was like, no, it's not Cass's fault. I mean, yeah, she was going for Parvati, but like, no, please, no. Felt like she got the short end of the stick, but again, she was going for Parvati, so she didn't, but like, oh, I'm just so sad. The sadness couldn't last for long though, because JLP goes, actually, we're doing it again.
As my heart rate went down, I was like, okay. And he's like, we're going back in. And I was like, no. And then it all happened again.
It all happened again. What do you think about this kind of a twist? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
I love it. I think that especially for people that have played the game so many times, like it's hard to surprise Shawnee and Parvati and Suri. Like I need them to do more things like this in America, really throw them off. Like I need them to be like, it turns out we are going to do, like, I love when they split them in half and then they both go to tribal. Then they come right back together after. I'm like, yep, throw them off. Because I think at this point, the show has been on so long, it almost becomes a caricature of itself. When they start to like reference other parts of the show on the show, it becomes weird. I was like, we need to be fresh and exciting. So I'm all about it. Spice it up.
I agree. I'm I have gone on record many times. I don't like a lot of the twists in Australian Survivor. I think a lot of them are a little unfair, a little help specific people out.
Always. I think that there's like a list of them and they decide when to use them. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say this is a twist that I genuinely like. And American Survivor has done this once or twice, maybe a couple times. The one that sticks in my head is Andrea Belkey's vote out, I believe, on Redemption Island. Because I was devastated that Andrea left, but it was, I believe, a double tribal council. But I think a double tribal council is super interesting because everybody is fighting for their lives at a tribal council. And then they have to immediately go and fight for their lives in an immunity challenge, knowing like Tommy was like, well, shit, like I need that necklace. Everyone probably feels like they need it at that moment in time. And then they have to kind of do it all over again. And so I think it's a really, really interesting twist that I do think, I agree with you, Philip, I do think that they should use in American Survivor again, because I think it's a twist that I think adds a little bit of intrigue. I wonder if we'll get that on 50, actually, because they have so many people in so few days. I wonder
I think
if we'll get...
Sometimes you can look at it mathematically and be like, okay, wait, how many episodes are left? They're like, you have to do something in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. And I want to specifically say, yes, we need a double elimination with the immunity challenge, not just a double elimination, but I do like that people can fight for their lives at an immunity challenge as well. So I think that's a very good thing to clarify there. And so we do see this immunity challenge. I think this is to me seems like one of the hardest immunity challenges I've seen.
So hard.
My God. Cause that stacking one is not easy to begin with, where you spell immunity or whatever. And Australian Survivor loves to crank it up a notch. And they said, you know what? Block now turns into a ball. I do think there's a quota of ball jokes that they do need to reach on Channel 10. And I feel like they were down on their ball joke quota. And so they said, you know what, how can we make this so that Jonathan can have a separation of the balls joke? And I think that that was their motivation here.
They hopped on it. They said, bring in the balls immediately.
Immediately. Yeah, we're down our quota. We need to meet it. Yeah.
Yep, on it. Great.
On it, yeah.
Wait, and they're blue? Exactly. Yep, okay, yeah, yep, yep, yep. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Literally. Literally.
Huge. Okay, great. Thank you.
Heavy. They're make sure they're really heavy. Great. Perfect.
Up steel? Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Literally, it's so funny. Jonathan and Jeff, if there's one thing they're gonna do is make a ball joke. But this was a truly difficult challenge. And I think probably by the end of it, everyone was just like, thank God somebody won. Like, I don't know if I could do that for my sanity anymore. Because they keep rolling off.
I think that it was a really good challenge for right now because, and maybe I'm reading too far into this as like an English teacher and a symbolism guy, but I'm always a firm believer that like the producers try and tell you what skills they want you to have based on the challenge that they have to do. And this challenge took stability, calmness, and perseverance. So if you notice, it really did kind of reset everyone's energy, like even during and after when they were like, y'all are getting too crazy. Really? Everyone come back down to earth. And I do feel like they almost kind of hint where you need to go, because if you were high energy and all over the place and scattered, you weren't going to be able to do that really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very good observation and a very good point, because it did kind of, people had to focus. They had to really kind of get back into the zone. And Luke ends up winning. And I will say after watching that, I was like, thank God. Like, right. I needed to, well, first of all, I needed it to just be over, because watching it was, I feel like, stressing me out so much. I was getting sweats.
Sweating.
Yeah, literally. And also, I just think it was interesting that an Aussie ended up winning. Because correct me if I'm wrong, almost all of the individual immunity challenges have been won by somebody on the World Tribe. Tommy was a fluke, but still Tommy. Cass, Parvati, and Tommy again. And then Sarah won one, but it was because Parvati and Sarah were doing it at the same time. But it's just like a lot of the World Tribe is winning these challenges. So I think this is one of the first times we've seen an Aussie win. And very excited for him. And then they just go immediately back into Tribal Council. The one thing I don't like about this design is I do feel like there's a world in which if there was an immunity challenge and they had time, I think they probably would have regrouped and tried to figure out a way to get out Parv, or at least flush the idol. But there's no time. There's no time to kind of get it, that whip those votes together after everyone was just so scatterbrained, and trust that people were going to do what they say in order to make that kind of a big move. But so it ended up being Tommy, which is to be expected. But nonetheless, I was sad.
I was glad that he got to have his little moment of being like, hey, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers. Let's just like stop for a second, just like a second here, and be like, wait, we can do this. Like, we're good. We're fine. And so I do think that he did get to have his like final stand. And he said, people are going to remember me. And I said, you know what? Yes, we are, Tommy. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Now, we did see something very weird at Tribal Council. If anybody saw the preview of this episode that Australian Survivor put on their Instagram, I was very confused because it did feel like somebody was going to quit. And Lisa basically says at the Tribal Council, she goes, you know what? My last game, I did not play with people. I played against people. This time, I would like to play with people. I think that's a world person deserves to go far. I don't think it's going to be me. And so I'm going to quit. I'm going to back out. How did you feel in this moment when Lisa said that?
Well, it's hard because I never like to see anybody quit just because I know what it's like to go through that casting process and all those different interviews and stuff like that. And it's insane. So I never like to see anybody leave. But what I will say, justice for Lisa on this, because in the past, correct me if I'm wrong, when people leave the game, don't they not vote?
What do you mean?
Like if she were to quit, don't they normally go, okay, then we're not going to vote. And then they send everyone back to camp. Right.
Yeah.
So like, why on earth would this time then be like, well, if you leave, we're still going to vote. I think like she tried to manipulate the rules and Australian Survivor was like, nope, we're not going to. No, no.
Yeah, Australian Survivor is also weird because there are times when normally a vote wouldn't happen, but then they still have a vote happen because I think that they do have, I mean, this season won't have non-elimination rounds, but they do have non-elimination rounds in Australian Survivor. So I remember in King George's second season, what was that? Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah.
He got hit in the head and somebody else like broke her collarbone. So, yep. And then the person who broke her collarbone went out. And they were like, okay, you can either vote or not. You actually have somebody. And then they all like raised their hand and they were like, okay, let's vote, which was crazy. But they do that sometimes in Australian Survivor because they're nuts.
Rebels versus Titans, we actually had like a, I'm going to leave the game. And they said, okay, everyone head home. And that was the end.
Yeah. So I think they kind of like decide, but I do think, you know, I really think she was trying to fall on her sword for Tommy because I think she went about it an interesting way. She didn't say, hey guys, vote for me. She said, hey, I'm going to quit. And I think that maybe there's a world in which she's like, hey guys, you should vote me out. Or people, they might've done it. I don't know that they would have, but they might have. And I do think that it's going to be hard for her. Well, I think there's a way that she actually can now use this to her advantage because maybe now people will underestimate her moving forward because it wasn't a quit because I'm tired and I'm hungry and I don't want to do this anymore. It was like, I want this person to be in the game over me.
Yeah.
And now in a way she's fighting for Tommy and she's like, you know what? Tommy can't be in the game. I'm going to do this for him. So I do think that there is still fight left in her. Can she get if she goes to the end, can she get final Tribal Council votes after saying that she was going to quit? What do you think?
I have to say no, just because I'm a firm believer that getting the votes is less about the resume and more about their delivery of that speech. That speech has to be confident and passionate. And again, a little delusional. And like, it needs to just like have that kind of like level of like, wow, you convinced me into it. And so I would be scared for her when it comes to that, let's say giving a final two speech with Parvati or three or even Connie, really. So like, it's just a matter of like, I just, don't know if she's an aggressive enough speaker to be able to deliver the speech that would have her be victorious at the end of this.
Yeah. And I got this idea from this comment from Mo. Mo said, after offering to quit, does Lisa have any chance of getting votes at Final Tribal Council? Maybe from Cass and Tommy, but I don't think she can win anymore. And I do agree with that. I really think, like, if I'm on the jury, I think that a jury person can vote however they want. They made it the jury. That is their prerogative. They can vote because you're wearing the color purple. Like, you can vote however you want. But I do think if I'm sitting on a jury, I don't know that I'm going to want to vote for somebody, especially like Kirby or even really Cass, who threatens to quit while I'm sitting over there wanting to play. Even if they're quitting for somebody else, even if it's a morally not superior, but like, you know, a good, kind mm-hmm. thing to do. Just am like, but why couldn't you quit for me? And so I do think that she still has fight left in her in the game, but I don't know that she's going to be able to get those votes at the end because of the move, which is sad because I would have loved Lisa win. And I'm not saying she could still win, but I just don't really see it.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to the end, it really becomes, who do you want to represent your season of gameplay? And so it's hard to say, I want her to represent our season of all the crazy things we went through, even though she has to leave for pretty much no reason. And you're like, yeah. Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, I do think it's questionable. Is there a path to the end? Yes. Is it a little longer and rockier? Probably.
Yeah, I also think there's a world in which it could be, now just to play devil's advocate, even more straightforward now, because it seemed like she was getting thrown under the bus, but she was honest while she was doing it.
Fair.
And she was loyal to a fault. So not only was she going to lay down her sword for her fellow world tribe member, Tommy, she also refused to vote Suri with Tommy, but she also didn't vote Tommy. She voted Janine. So like, she is loyal and she's not going to vote for her people. And she said that, like, this is why I'm doing this, because I don't want to play the same game that I played previously, even though I won. I want to play a game with people rather than against people. And so if I'm Parvati or Suri, I think that that person now in our circle, she's in it, because number one, I don't think that people are going to see her as a threat anymore. So that's a number. And number two, she's very clearly loyal to you guys. So I would use that. I would use that as much as I possibly could.
Yeah, I think she's in a really weird spot right now, especially in just like looking how we end the episode with the numbers. Mm-hmm. In the Australia V, the world, she's the V. She's like just there in the middle, just like chilling. So like it's rough for her. It would potentially for everyone else be one of those where when someone's on the outskirts, you either bring them in as a number or it's an easy vote to unite everyone.
Yep, I think that's exactly right. But I think that there's also going to be very interesting. I think the dynamics moving forward are going to be very interesting in episode 8 and 9 this week, because like we're now evened up again. So the world was 5-3. It's now 3-3. Six people left in the game. But I feel like all of this united the Aussies even harder, which makes me so scared for Lisa, Suri, and Parv. Well, how do you feel like their prospects are moving forward? Do you think that they're going to be able to work around that, or what do you think?
I think the social chokehold that Parvati has on them it almost counts for another person. Like even though the numbers are even, I still don't think it's even. Like, I think they have such a step ahead. They've been playing the game for so long. The names are so big that it's just like one of those things where like it always feels like they're trying to play catch up or impress her and Suri, and they're just chilling, mm-hmm. just literally chilling. Suri has her hood up, Parv has her squint on, like they're just chilling. And so it's so interesting to see the social dynamics play out. And really it's because they're almost like celebrities of the game. They had played these games before anyone else on this tribe, or I don't know the years, but maybe Australia, period, I think. So at this point, like, it's like,
Yeah. Yeah. They're the OGs and they're tight. That's also, oh, that's something you bring up an interesting point that I wanted to talk about. When Parvati puts the idol on in that first tribal council, she goes, I'm playing this for either myself or Suri. And after tribal council, after we go through all of this, I'll figure out who I'm going to play it for. Do you think their relationship is so clearly, it's so clear to everybody that there's nothing to even hide. And it's like, you know what, we are the two and we're the two that you're fighting against. Or do you think that that was do you think that that was showing her cards a little bit too much? Because I go between the two. I think it's fine, but I don't know. I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
No, I think everyone already knows that they're like pretty tight. They played together numerous times. And like, there are some people in New Era that have played together numerous times, but like within 2 to 3 years, they go back years and years and years. So like, it's one of those where like, I just don't foresee them even doing a good job at like pretending they're not close. And so they're like, you know what, if everyone already knows, we might as well just lean in on this. And so again, it's that 50-50 shot, the glass of poison or not. You're like, I'm going to play it for one of us. So you just decide who you want.
Yeah. And I think that that was also, interesting because I think it saved them both for both tribal councils, which she didn't know that second tribal council was coming, but Suri only got one vote from Tommy. But like, I think maybe Australia was like, these two are off the table for the night. They're off the table until we can regroup and figure it out. And I think that that's super interesting. Now, that being said, do you think it would have been smart for Parvati to actually just take Cass's idol and have then two idols not play either? And so the next time they go to tribal council, she's like, well, I actually have one for me and Suri. So good luck. Do you think that that would have been a smart move from Parv?
I mean, would it have been smart for her as a player? Like in the game? Yes. Would she have looked like kind of an asshole? Probably. Also that, like, I just think that she also knows how she appears. And like I just don't think that would have been like, it's so hard when there's someone on the line and she's like, I'm not turning this relationship off completely, but I can't say that I trust you. So like, should I also take your idol too? I wouldn't. I mean, that's just me.
I think you're right. I also think Darren is right. I forgot. Darren said she couldn't take the idol. And I think that's right. I think Parvati read part of the parchment to make it sound like she can take it when I think she has to take it before the votes are cast.
That's what I thought. I was like, did I understand that wrong?
No, I think I misremembered. I think you're right, Darren. Which I think is also smart on her part. You know, she couldn't actually take the idol. Oh man, wait, I see that in a whole new light now because I totally misremembered that. Because so that was just a complete, she knew what she was doing. She knew that she was exposing her cards in order to get her to either not play the idol or play the idol on somebody else.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Genius. Hot take. Parvati's a genius.
No, literally when I went back to old school Survivor and like, again, I had watched all the New Era seasons, but I hadn't really watched any of the old ones. So I got home from the show. Then I went back and watched the old ones. And I was like, you had the audacity to put civilians on an island with that. I was like, are you insane? I was like, I didn't have a shot in hell. Get out of here. Like, they're just, there's no way. And it's just because the only reason that Parvati can do what she does is, number one, she's an engaging person, sure. But also, like, with years of experience. And, like, let's not take that away. There, she has not done well in every game she's ever played. But I will say, like, at this point, she's doing well. She understands it. It's easy for her. And so it's so hard for these people that have played the game one time to try and even think about how three steps ahead of them she already is.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And this, I don't know if you know this fact. Ryan saw this on Reddit the other day and I made a video about it because this is actually crazy. So Parvati has not been voted out. This is true. You can look this up. When there are majority women in the game, the only times she has been voted out, it has been either equal men and women at a tribal council or more men than women. Every other time she's never been voted out with majority women. So she already had an upper hand going into the season because it was 8 women to 6 men in the season already. And she's just amazing in that way. And also she's only ever been voted out when Yule was on the tribe. Fun fact. Yeah, LOL. Yule is her kryptonite. But so she just really is amazing. Parvati's an icon. So is Suri. Now, the last thing I want to talk about after, you know, after we saw Tommy. Oh, I also want to say Tommy being like, it's my first time. Be gentle. It's so cute. Oh,
so good.
Do you know how Tommy got ended up? Tommy didn't win his season. And do you know why?
No.
So it was a tie jury vote, and caption or comments, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was a tie jury vote. And the reason they did not revote and the reason they didn't revote is because, or they didn't have like another person vote, is because the other person had gotten advantage earlier in the game that gave him a jury vote.
Oh,
I mean, brutal. Isn't that brutal? Oh, brutal. But so I loved when he was like, this is my first time, be gentle. It was so funny. He's so cute. I love Tommy. I'm going to miss him. But okay, I do want to end this little chat with what we saw on Next Time on Survivor. So we saw a couple of things, but the one thing that really stood out to me was Luke going up to Parvati saying, I have an idol. What do you think that's about? Because I don't know what it is.
I have to believe that there's a grander plan here. I don't know what it is. I have to believe that there is something intellectual hiding behind that, and that we know what's going to happen. But like, it's giving. What was the name of the guy with the long hair that they took the idol from and then used it to eliminate him?
Oh, Eric Reichenbach.
It's giving Eric that. I'm like, why would we do this?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. It's like, yeah. I really, really, really in my heart of hearts want to believe that there is a strategy to that. And he just didn't go up to somebody that he knows has a steal a vote or a steal an idol and says, hey, I have an idol. I think he's trying to do a Xander Liana situation from 41, from the knowledge is power, and be like, oh, I actually gave the idol to somebody else. Like, I hope he gave it to Janine.
I'm gonna hope.
But I am so scared that he is just gonna be like, you know what? Let's send it and just tells Parvati he has an idol.
So it turns out I was supposed to give it to someone. I forgot. I'm holding it. And you're like, ah.
No, it's like, and I think that's probably the right move. But also, I don't really think it's necessary because not all advantages need to be played. They must have another agenda. They must have something else that they're trying to get out of this. But truly, if she never finds out about an idol, then she never finds out about an idol. And it's not a poison chalice situation. Because if I'm Parvati and somebody's coming up to me and volunteering the information, I'd be like, something's wrong. Something's amiss. Right. What's happening here? But I'm so excited to see that next episode because if the advantage doesn't get played, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But it'll be crazy.
Apparently there was a jury member that quit in Finland.
Okay. So I was wrong. Sorry. No, but there was, okay. Then I'm going to go look this up after the pod because there was an international survivor where an advantage in the game was that you get an extra jury vote, which I think is crazy and not.
That's a lot.
All.
Yeah.
Cause I don't like messing with the jury. Like I didn't like not San Juan del Sur. What was it with Michelle? And
oh, I thought you meant Heroes versus Villains, where they got to send Shawnee away. Was that Heroes versus Villains?
That was Shawnee. Yeah, So they did it in Australia, but they also did it in American Survivor as well. I just can't remember what season they did it in American Survivor. It was Michelle's season, I think, in American Survivor, whatever, where they could send somebody off of the jury. I just don't love that. I don't like messing with the jury. It stinks. But I'm so excited for the next episode. Do you have any predictions for episode 8? I know so much happens that how could you even predict, you know?
I think I'm feeling either Luke or Janine, and I don't want to be feeling that, but my spirit says Luke or Janine.
I'm feeling Luke, really. I feel like Janine is getting not a very good edit, and so I hope when Janine goes home, she gets a better edit in the episode where she goes. I am nervous for Parvati and Suri though. I'm nervous for them every single episode because their target is just massive. And I feel like it's getting bigger every episode.
But the thing is, are they nervous for themselves? because again, they see like, even if they are inside, outside, they're not. And I think that scares people. Like, I think super confident people scare other people. Yeah. And so it's really one of those where like, we might be more worried for them than they are.
Yeah, I think that's really real, especially because I think that Ceri is so happy to be playing this game and not, she did Big Brother a couple of years ago and she went on record saying that she hated playing Big Brother.
Yeah.
And I think that she just finally feels like back in her element. And I'm so excited for that, for her. And I'm really excited to see what happens. But Philip, thank you so much for joining us and chatting Australian Survivor. Where can the people find you?
Oof, normally Costco, but like as a whole on social media, it's my first and last name, Philip Solomon with an underscore on TikTok. It's Philip Solomon 12, but yes, please hit me up. I answer all the messages, DMs, comments, threats, whatever.
And I do have one last question. I know you said something at the beginning of the episode, but how is it? Is it really weird seeing somebody that you yourself have played a game with playing a different game on TV? How is that? Is it kind of out of body? What does that feel like?
Super, super weird. I'm not going to lie to you. But also, you're also kind of proud, I think, as far as just like what I'm concerned by, because like you take, like, if you really imagine it for the average reality TV viewer to be thrown into like a competition and look to your left and see Parvati and David, who wasn't a person at the time, and then look to your right and see like Dr. Will, and then like Joe Manganiello's asking you things, and you're like, is this life real? Like, if you really like, it's such a crazy, absurd thing that you're like, this isn't real. And so it has been absolutely the best year of my life. I'm continuing to do great things, amazing things. There are more things coming down the right, but I will say, both David and Parvati have been playing amazing games so far. I think David's misstep was really almost coming in too confident. But I will say, from the moment he got there, he started networking, shaking hands, doing what he does. And so I do look forward to see what happens when he takes the microphone as host, only because do I think the Golden God should be hosting Australian Survivor? Absolutely not. But the David that I met, that was not allowed to be the Golden God, that just had compassion and empathy and was just like a dad, I think that man could host Australian Survivor. So like, it's one of those where like, I know there's a lot of controversy behind it. JLP, star, do not get me wrong on that. But what I will say is there is definitely a side to David that I don't know if the Australian viewers have seen as of yet.
Interesting. That's so interesting. Yeah. And you know, two things can be true at the same time. You can be sad JLP is leaving and excited to see David step into the role. Two things can be true.
Yes.
But I just want to thank you so much for joining the show. Just to get into a little bit of housekeeping, we are going to be going live again tomorrow. We have right now tentatively Kelly Nalbandian is going to be coming on and talking episode 8, which is going to be so exciting. TBD on the time. It should be later in the day, like 5 or 6 p.m. So make sure to watch the episode and then come and watch us gab about it. It is going to be me again because I've been abandoned here. That's okay. I'm so excited to be kind of stepping in and chatting with everybody. Thank you again to everybody who's listening, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a great Labor Day weekend. Bye.